Sure. Well, first of all, obviously 2025 was a busy year for us. We had the expansion of our jail pod, which definitely helped increase public safety, giving us, you know, more room for officers when they make those arrests in our community to bring those arrestees in. We have room for them. That obviously contributes to our public safety. And then, of course, we had the devastating storms back in June. Late June there, that caused the death of some of our residents. So very, very tragic, tough situations to work through, both for our community and for our office. And we did a lot of emergency preparedness this year. We did a number of active shooter trainings with our businesses and some mobile field force. But as far as crime numbers and those things that were affecting our community as far as criminal activity and our crimes against persons, we again, our higher number was those simple assaults. And when I say simple assaults, those assaults can include those assaults that don't cause major injury to people, but they can include domestic violence assaults, juvenile assaults, things of that nature. And so that number went is a little bit higher than 2024. So that's always a concern for us. Anytime that there's crimes that might be increasing a little bit, that could cause injury to people. Our crimes against persons, we had again narcotics violations, narcotics trafficking, and paraphernalia charges were some of our higher numbers, and I think that's pretty consistent with criminal activity in our community. Typically, you know, what we feel drives our crime numbers is going to be our majority of those crime numbers is going to be narcotics trafficking, addiction issues. And so, you know, just in reference to that, we really took a proactive approach to addressing those issues this year. There's always two ways to approach narcotics trafficking. There's the proactive, trying to do a good job with narcotics interdiction, and then there's the reactive, right? And that's arresting people and taking them to jail and trying to work through those investigations, and through working those investigations, trying to determine who's responsible for the narcotics trafficking. But the proactive approach is what we're really trying to concentrate on, just actually trying to intercept it before it gets, you know, even gets into dealers' hands and affects people in our community. And so we're very happy that to be part of the Federal Interdiction Task Force. And if you look at our yearly report, you can see that there were a number of narcotics that were intercepted through that federal interdiction effort. And you know, so I want to give our staff, our partners at the federal level and the local level, the U.S. Attorney's Office, credit for addressing some of those crime activities. And actually, with the work that they did this year, we received the Eagle of Excellence Award with the narcotics trafficking effort that was done through that interdiction and federal effort. So that is one way that we really tried to excel this year, and we'll continue to try to do that and keep narcotics out of our community, because again, I believe that's the driving force for a number of our criminal activity. As far as crimes against persons, as we would all can imagine, the number of identity theft calls that we've taken have been kind of on the rise over the last couple of years. Our vandalisms out in the rural area and some of our thefts, those are our higher numbers. That's why we're always encouraging people to report suspicious activity. Make sure that they're watching, keep an eye out for, you know, their neighbors, things of that nature. And again, calling us if they see something that needs to be reported. But then also making sure that they're locking up their property, locking up their vehicles or residences and things of that nature, so that they don't become victims of kind of that rising theft number that we have currently in our, you know, that we're showing in our statistics.
As you take a look at the 2024 versus 2025 calls for service statistics, down from 48,000 in 2024 to 46,000 in 2025, do you attribute that to anything in particular?
Not necessarily, because part of those calls for service numbers, calls for service can, you know, involve a lot of different policing activities. Some of those calls for service numbers are actually proactive policing numbers, so they don't always, or aren't the greatest representation of actual criminal activity, because although criminal activity falls within those calls for service numbers, Some of those calls for service numbers are also our deputies going into a community and doing community-oriented policing, or doing building checks, business checks, getting out of their vehicle and going in and visiting with business owners to see if there's any issues that they're having, if we can partner with them on crime prevention techniques, activities, things of that nature. So, I think there's so many different factors that go into the calls for service numbers that, to me, those aren't indicative of maybe crime going down per se. It could be also a result of proactive policing measures and things of that nature.
What's your message to Cass County regarding the county being safe, safety in the county? I know that there's been a couple of incidents, the Horace incident at the school there, just a couple of incidents that I know people are probably worried about. Cass County is a safe county overall?
Overall, it is. There's obviously work to be done. I think that, because for me, any criminal activity we have is too much, right? It would be nice to have it at zero. I know that's probably not reality with the amount of population that we have here. But nevertheless, our focus is always what numbers are on the rise, and we want to make sure that violence in our community is our main focal point. Whatever that violence is attributed to, whether it's through firearms use, if it's narcotics use or whatever, those are always going to be our focal points. And, in general, I would say that the county is a safe place, but we want to make sure that it remains that way. And I know with, different types of questions on shootings that we've had in different parts of the county, whether that's in Fargo, the rural area, West Fargo, wherever, those things, I think, obviously are very alarming to people, as they should be. And what we don't want to happen is to have those become commonplace. And as we talk about those things, they don't surprise people that we've actually had them, right? If that's not the case, then that means they're happening more frequently. And so we really need to pay attention, get a handle on those things. But I appreciate the partnership and collaboration that we've had from our community. We've got really good support here. From all levels. And I think, that obviously helps us in our policing efforts if we get cooperation from our residents and they're reporting crimes or working together with us on those crime prevention strategies. And we all need to work together because law enforcement can't do it on its own. We need the help from our community, and we've seen that, especially with our tip line that we've had. We get a number of text tips that come into our office that we can follow up on, and we appreciate that level of communication from the community.
You talk about preparedness being a top priority. You've been training deputies. You've been training county employees. You also have the Stop the Threat, Stop the Bleed program that continues to grow. Talk about the success of that program in helping people be trained to respond to critical incidents wherever they may happen in the county.
Yeah, that's been very successful for us. We've had a lot of outreach from our businesses. We work together with our schools in that program. And yeah, it's a promise that I made to our community several years ago when I ran for sheriff, was that I was going to bring back community preparedness to the community, share my knowledge, things that I've learned over the years. And we've been able to apply that to the business setting and get that training to our residents. And we've had very good feedback. And again, the ultimate goal of that is to literally get people's in the mindset of thinking of how they can be vigilant, how they can increase their situational awareness, and help us in a critical situation. Anyone that has that training, if we have to respond to their business and they've been through that training, they're going to be able to help us, right? And hopefully save lives and minimize injury to people. So I, as the sheriff, appreciate the partnership with the businesses to get that training done. Like I said, we've had a lot of outreach from businesses to do that training. Typically, we're scheduled 2 months out because it's so busy. And that really just shows the level of commitment that our businesses have to protecting our community and protecting their employees. And so it really has been a great program for us.
Anything about the 2025 annual report, Sheriff, that we have not touched that you want our listeners to know about?
No, I just I really appreciate the effort from our team at the sheriff's office. I have great staff there. All of them work hard. They want to serve the citizens of Cass County at a high level. They go in every day and do that. And so I appreciate the effort from them. Again, appreciate the partnership from the community. And yeah, if any of your listeners have any other questions after our discussion, they're always welcome to give me a call and we can discuss anything that they might have concerns with or ideas on or anything of that nature.
Cass County Sheriff Jesse Johnner, thanks so much for your time today.
Yep. Thanks, Chris.